الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين وعلى آله الطيبين وأزواجه الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وصحبته الميامين وعلى من بسنته واهتدى بهديه أما بعد حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters in Masjid Sunnah in Masjid Ansar Sunnah in New Jersey, America and those who follow us on the internet on the Paltalk room as well as those who are going to inshallah ta'ala be to this talk from the website on last week we have explained the surah which is very valuable surah, although it is one of the most of the shortest surahs of the Quran, Surah Al-Asr, and we got number of benefits from it, not all the benefits, because as some of the scholars say that if Allah Ta'ala sent not but this surah, it would then be sufficient proof against the whole creation. And this surah contains very benefits that the person can compile books by gathering them and extracting them from this surah. However, as it is methodology on this topic, the explanation of Durusul Himma for Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, we are going only to speak generally and capture some of the clear benefit face. Today's surah is almost related, and all the Quran is related to each other, but this surah today is mainly related to Surah Al-Asr, especially in the last part of the ayah, of the third ayah, which is the last ayah of Surah Al-Asr, where Allah Ta'ala said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ that Allah Ta'ala said that all mankind is in loss. And then the exemption came, except for those who believe in Allah, in His angels, in His prophets, in His books, in His destiny, in the day of resurrection, in the fire, the paradise, the path, in all this, and work based on that, as Allah Ta'ala said, amanu wa amilu. Amanu wa amilu, and act upon this belief. But it's not, there is no benefit to believe and you act against of what you believe. Naam. And wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bil sabr. This also is close to the benefits that we are going to take from Surah Al-Humaza. The Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى advised to teach and speak about Surah Al-Humaza is one of the surahs which are called Makkiyah, Surah Makkiyah, and the meaning of Makkiyah, we mentioned that many times, but we said that Makkiyah means Makkiyah means that this surah was descended during the time before the Hijrah, which is Hijrah migrated from Medina, from Mecca to Medina. Surah is treating some type of the bad manners and yani characters that ever found yani from people that ever found people. Now, and this surah has a reason for it to be descended. Naam. As Allah Ta'ala said here, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة. Let's listen now to the recitation of this surah with some of the a translation of the interpretation into English, and then inshallah we then get the tafsir and the benefit. In fact, it's not a tafsir more than it the yani benefits of this surah. That's what we are concerned about, the benefits that we can get from this surah rather than the tafsir of it. Naam. Bismillah.
Woe to every scorner and mocker. Who collects wealth and continuously counts it. He thinks that his wealth will make him immortal.
Listen now to the recitation from Sheikh Mishar al-Abbasi, may Allah Ta'ala highly reward him, and also the translation of this brother, may Allah Ta'ala reward him highly too. You have, yani, now to you listen to this surah, to this recitation, the surah. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. وَيْلٌ, yani, as it is translated in the Noble Quran and translations, in which cares about English translation, it says woe. In Arabic, al-wail, wailun, as Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala says, that it is yani, wail has many different meanings in Arabic. Many different meanings in Arabic. Naam. One of these meanings in Arabic is, as it is translated, woe. Naam. Yani, it is a word that is used to warn or to magnify this type of sin, and to yani enlarge it for people to yani get yani the warning, because it is something so simple for people to do. Slandering and backbiting cause no cost yani for people, yani it doesn't cost them nothing. It doesn't need fuel. It doesn't yani make one pay pills, pay bills, or pay nothing. You don't do nothing. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yadhman li ma bayna fakkayhi." He said, "He will guarantee for me, but it is clearly it was the other one, and the Lord is the tongue. It is the tongue. من يضمن لي ما بين فكيه وفخذيه, and between his two thighs, and what is in between two thighs is your private parts. So if you can, because the private parts, what does it mean when the Prophet ﷺ say, who can guarantee the control of what is in between two jaws? The two jaws between them is tongue. What does it mean for over it? It means not to use it. It does not go and act itself. The tongue is only a body part, like the finger, like the eye, like any other part of your body. It takes the command to do whatever the commander commanded. And the commander here is, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the heart. If the heart is pure, if the heart is clean, if the heart is healthy, meaning in terms of iman, naam, if the iman is yani, if the iman is certain, if the iman is high, then not only the tongue, but even the eye, the ear, as the eye and the ear are the leaders to cause the what is in between the thighs to fall into the sin. Naam? And also it is the leader. These are the leaders for what is between the jaws to do the wrong and to do the sin. Naam? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, who can't have this control guaranteed for me, I will guarantee Jannah for him. And that's why, yani, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala, and this man, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, was a very young man, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa said that Mu'adh ibn Jabal is the most knowledgeable one amongst the Sahaba of the halal and haram. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa said that Mu'adh ibn Jabal will come on the day of resurrection ahead of the queue of the scholars, of the scholars of mankind, from Adam alayhi salam to last man, except for the prophets and messengers, they have their own queue. But the queue of the scholars from amongst mankind and jinn as well, Mu'adh ibn Jabal is going to be, that is because of the much of ilm that he had, although he was young. Now Mu'adh ibn Jabal is asking Rasulullah when he hears this hadith from him. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, awa inna la mu'akhaduna bima natakallamu bihi. Are we going to be questioned and counted for what we speak of? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. Taking your mom, lose you, O Mu'adh. Lose you by death, meaning. Why Rasulullah is saying that this dua is not meant, by the way. There are other du'as that the Prophet ﷺ said, and also the Arabs used to say, but they don't mean the reality of it. It is only just to drag the attention of the listener that this is something yani big, something major. The Prophet ﷺ says to him, تَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاد وَهَلْ يُكَبُّ النَّاسُ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ وفي رواية على وجوههم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم. Will the people be thrown into the fire on their faces, and in other narration on their noses, except for what they collect by their tongues? Except what they collect by their tongues. Now, so and that's why Abu Bakr Siddiq, the best believer after all prophets and messengers, and no one from the companions of all the messengers can be like Abu Bakr Siddiq. Abu Bakr Siddiq is the best of the mankind after all prophets and messengers. He, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, used to walk in the streets and in the roads and streets of Medina, holding his tongue, saying, هَذَا الَّذِي أَوْرَدَنِ الْمَعَالِكِ هذا الذي أوردني المعالك. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is saying that. Who can find me any backbiting or slandering or lying or deceiving or from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq? I never come across one. You please, if you find any, just let me know. Don't take from the Rafida, may Allah curse them and destroy them because they are liars. But I need to show me something from the authentic narration, but not from the liars like Rafida. Now, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is saying that. He's saying, this is what make me come across the destroyers, or destroying issues and destroying places. Allahu Akbar. That's Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. What about us? What about us? Na'am, subhanAllah. A moment ago, or an hour ago, I was in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and I was sitting to one of the students of knowledge who was doing his PhD in Jamaat Islamiyah in Hadith. And we were talking about this sometimes, and many, not sometimes, in fact, most of the times these days, many people, many advisors, many lecturers, many shiukh, let me just be honest with you, many shiukh today speak, they may give a lecture, they may give a talk about the evil of backbiting and slandering. And maybe in the questions, a question raised about so and so. And now, when the backbiting and slandering comes, it is, and they say this is warning. Yeah, warning is good. Of course, the religion is not going to be protected if there is no warning. But warning of what? Warning of something true, of something real, of something harmful, of something dangerous. It's not just like that. Warning against what? One comes and says, this man, this name, we know, he is Ahlul Bid'ah, don't take from him. Where is the warning now? Where is the warning? You should justify what you say. Otherwise, it's only an oppression and, wronging others. It is easy to sit and speak about others. And that's why we need to be careful of our tongues, of our times. Wallahi, ya ikhwan, this tongue can burn mountains of hasanat in a fraction of a second like that. Do you know what does it mean when you backbite a Muslim? Do you know what does it mean when you slander a Muslim? Subhanallah. This is something very dangerous and harmful. But most of us not pay attention to this. And are taking the excuse of, we are advising, we are protecting. And we bring statements from the Sahaba, like Imam Ahmad, when a woman or a man came by him saying that you still speaking about others and backbiting them and slandering them. Now others which he or she meant by others are the narrators of hadith, and backbiting and slandering is the what we call it the ilm al-jatadil, meaning to taste and examine this person if he is capable to deliver the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ or not. It's not just speaking about him just for that. No, and that's why the scholars of the Prophet used to, for example, if they find someone who narrates, but they suspect him, they, for example, having number of sins, they look to the one related to narrating a hadith. For example, if he is drinking khamr, hiddenly, not openly, known that he drinks khamr, hiddenly, he doesn't come to the people drinking khamr, but there is a suspicion around him. Now, and at the same time, he lies to people. Now, it is not known from him that he lies in the hadith, but it is known that he lies when he deals with people. What do they say? They stop taking hadith from him. Under what excuse? They say if he lies with people, he might lie in narrating the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe he adds something, maybe he does this, he does that. So they stop taking hadith from him. Did they say that, drinks khamr? No, they never say that. Because this does not relate to their aim. So they don't care about it. Not by the meaning they don't care, but they don't bring it out. Example, he is someone does other things which are wrong, but it's not related to the narrating of the hadith, so they just bring what is. Well, now, today, subhanAllah, it is clearly misused. Clearly misused. I hear some people speaking about a da'i that, he is not Abu Salafiyya. Why? Even his wife doesn't want to stay with him. Subhanallah. Is this a measurement now? Is this a measurement because his wife doesn't want to stay with him? Akhi, this is not correct. The woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she asked, Ya Rasulullah, three men asked me for marriage. Who do you advise me to marry? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that Abu Jaham is somebody who never puts the stick from his shoulders, meaning he's carrying the stick always with him, and he might use it in beating anybody. He might beat you, and also he told her that Muawiyah is his brother-in-law, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married the sister of Muawiyah, and he was the writer, the one who used to write, the clerk of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in writing the revelation. So he is the uncle of the believer, and he is the one who used to write the revelation for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when she asked about him, he said that he's somebody who's very poor, he has no money. How can it spend on you and your family? So, now, what I want to, to mean by that is, we have still to, exercise the jarh al-ta'dil, but in a very narrow, time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said this, if this woman didn't ask. He knew these two people, Abu Jahm and Muawiyah, and he never said that about them, except when this woman came and asked about him, about them. And nobody reported such a saying from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Jahm and Muawiyah, except this woman. So what does that mean? That it means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never finds it correct to just keep speaking about it. Now, only spoke about it in the writing and finished. And this is the thing that can benefit, which is the marriage. Now, to keep talking and talking, that is what most of the brothers today, brothers and sisters, do not watch themselves. And they don't remember that they are watched. And everything they say and they do is written. ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. He never speaks of anything except that there is عتيد and رقيب, two angels writing the good speech and the bad speech. So we have to be careful, إخوان. ويلون is not. Some of the ulama said that ويل is the name of a valley in Jahannam. And that means that this person who keep practicing ghiba and namima and backbiting, slandering, lying like that, mocking others, many times we hear mocking today. Naam, subhanallah. I don't know how. I remember an incident occurred here in Saudi India. Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami rahimahullah went to give a lecture in Riyadh. Naam. And in the masjid, a man who's Hizbi, he's Hizbi. No doubt that he's Hizbi, because he was so angry from Sheikh Muhammad Aman for nothing. He doesn't know him. It is only because Sheikh Muhammad Aman clarify the mistakes of his sheikh. I don't know who was he, but of course that he was only defending his sheikh. And he was speaking on behalf of his. Now, he said to him, and look at this, he didn't find anything to say other than what he said. He said, there are no more men to teach us but you, O black one. Subhanallah. What has color to do with knowledge? He's black, yes, but his heart is white. He's black, yes, but his face is white. His name is brightening, twinkling. What is the value of this when it is said? Sheikh Aman knew that this is only something of evil, so he just ignored it. I entered with Sheikh Aman to the majlis of Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, and Abdulaziz bin Baz rahimahullah was blind since boyhood, so he never saw Muhammad Aman, never ever. So, but they worked together. He recognized his voice, and after many years, we came to see Sheikh bin Baz in his house in Mecca. When Sheikh Muhammad Aman entered, they was right behind him. And once he entered, he said in his very recognizable voice, which I can't say, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Immediately, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bas recognized the voice. Wallahi, he stood and he said, "Who? Muhammad Aman Ibn Ali al-Jami?" And Sheikh said, "Yes, I came it was a bit long distance from his room, and Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad was walking from the one end of the, from the gate to Sheikh bin Baz, but it was a long distance. Then Sheikh bin Baz walked a little bit, and then he hugged Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad. So what is the value of saying that it is only you or black? What is, it's only mocking. It's only Ikhwan. And then he said, oh, wallahi, we don't mean. What do you mean by we don't mean? Rasulullah said something, and then you find, you try to find an excuse for what you said. Nah. You be careful. Mistake is mistake, no problem, but like these words does not come out of mistake, but it's of bad thing in the heart. Nah? Yani, we hear these days, oh, don't take from him, he's Pakistani, he's Nigerian, he's, so what? He's Pakistani or Indian or Indonesian or Nigerian or American or, so what? Naam? La ya ikhwan, that is not the way. This is one way of mocking, and mocking is disliked by Allah. And as you hear, wailun, as we said, that it is either word that yani used to magnify the crime of mocking, slandering and backbiting, or it is a threat that the one who practices this and exercises it and yani become yani common user of it will be in the valley called Wail in Jahannam. In Jahannam, عياذ بالله. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ. The scholars have different opinions on the interpretation of these two attributes. هُمَزَة and لُمَة. I'm saying, let's go and see some of these things from Tafsir Ibn Kathir, for example. Humaza means someone who he only brings the bad things about people. He never brings about anything. Everybody has good and has every one of us. كل آدم خطاء وخير خطائنا التوابون. All man can make mistakes, but the best of them are the ones who repent. نعم. الربيع ابن أنس said الهمزة يهمز في وجهه واللمزة من خلفه. He said that همزة is the one who mocks you, even sending at your face. You may be thinking that you and him, he is just talking about you, or he does something. But Lumaza is the one who leaves you and he smiles at your face and leaves you till you go, and then he sees you about. Al-Hadha said, Al-Humaza not the actions, but these are the body parts. He said, Humaza is his tongue, and Lumaza is his eye. Because when you, when someone is in the sitting, and you want to mock him or something, and look to the other hand, I like this. Oh, you see that you show by your eye and he has Mujahid said that Humaza is the one who harm people with his hand, whether takes their things or beat them or with his hand. Any harmfulness comes from the hand called humaza, according to Mujahid. And a hand and eye. He said hand and eye. Harmful comes from the tongue, according to Mujahid. Naam. Zayd ibn Aslam radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, humaza is the flesh of people. Flesh of people. In Arabic we call it luhum, and in flesh or meat of people. But it means the flesh and their body. But it is يعني, an example like يعني, if you are eating, as Allah Ta'ala said, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. One of you likes to eat, يعني, do you like one of you to eat his, the flesh of his brother after he fell away, and hate this person, the flesh of mankind? Now, that's the thing of backbiting and slandering. And yani it is a type of bad characters and manners, ikhwan. Now, الذي جمع مالا وعدده الذي جمع مالا وعدده has gathered wealth and counted it. يعني everything is money. Everything is money. They look at you. Who you are? You are a poor person. You are somebody who's you are yani like that. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Is this a cause of lowering the person? Is this a cause of disliking somebody? Subhanallah. Where from we got this understanding? Where from we got this poor understanding, ya ikhwan? We have to be careful. Naam. الذي جمع مالا وعدده. Naam. And then Allah Ta'ala said, let's see what the ulama say about this, الذي جمع مالا وعدده. For example, what Imam Ibn Kathir says in his tafsir. Imam Ibn Kathir said that yani the one who counts it and gathers it. Ibn Jarir, نعم, Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi, said that الذي جمع مالا وعدده, the one who gathered and counted it, is the one who made this to turn him away from the obedience of Allah. His business made him to forget the time of prayers, made him to prevent deny the zakah, like that. He cut his kinship ties, and this is what Ibn Kathir reported in his tafsir. Let's see Imam al-Qurtubi, what does he say about that in regard to jama'a malan wa addadahu. Naam. He said, it is only to show the evil of this type of action. Evil of this type of action. Naam. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'arij, وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى. Yani, he gathered the wealth and he put it in containers and closed, because those days they did not have banks, so their saves were only like containers and like that, and they closed them and sealed them and buried them underground. So now يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ يحسب أن ماله أخلده. he thinks that his wealth will make him last forever. He thinks that his wealth can make him last forever. Subhanallah. And it was said that it is al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, Allahu a'lam, that who thought that it is only money. It is only money. And many people today like that. If it is Walid ibn al-Mughira, during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we have many Walid ibn al-Mughiras. Many people today, who Allah Ta'ala bestows blessings on them in terms of incomes and money and wealth, so they have lots of money, lots of money. They see their brothers in Somalia and in many places in need for money, but no one donates. Everyone hides it, subhanAllah. Everyone holds it. Everyone denies that he has enough money to spend. Look at them when, subhanAllah. Ya ikhwan, you in the West living this type of thing. Look to the people of Bid'ah. How many masajid they have? How do their masajid look like? How many schools? How many even universities? I saw university in, I saw two colleges and one small city, not very small, but might be the fourth or fifth city in England, and they have one big university and one or two colleges, for Muslims. But when you say Muslims, as the kuffar say it, but we Ahl-Sunnah, we the Salafis know that these are people of Bid'ah, and some of them are even practicing the Shirk Akbar. Now, where from they get this money? They cooperate and gather, and they're businessmen, they're rich people, they pay. Now, why do you see Ahl-Sunnah, Allah musta'an, people renting a place and turn refurbish it to be a masjid, and Allah knows best where from they can prepare the or provide the rent and the bills of electricity and etc. Subhanallah. Where are the rich people, ya ikhwan? Where are the people? Now, I don't mean rich by those who have millions. Too far away from looking to the religion, illa man rahim Allah, except for those whom Allah Ta'ala bestows mercy on and make them awake to build up their akhirah. But I mean, not necessarily to be rich is to be one who has millions or even hundreds of thousands. La, but ya akhi, whatsoever money you have, why don't you donate and share with your brothers? Naam. Like now, for example, our Muslim brothers, our Salafi brothers in Damaj are being beaten by the Rafida, the Kuffar, la'anahum Allah, because these Rafida, they are minority in Yemen. The Rafida, look at that, subhanAllah. They are minority in Yemen, minority in the whole Arabian Peninsula. And the most rich people in the Arabian Peninsula and in Yemen, are Ahl Sunnah. But who is getting the support? These Rafida. They have tankers. They have heavy weapons. Al-Sunnah in Damaj have only Kalashnikov and I don't know, Molotov and Haun. They don't have nothing, even food, even subhanAllah. And people say that what can we do? We can do a lot. We can contact Sheikh Yahya al-Hajuri, Hafidhahu Allah, and the brothers there in Damaj, and ask them, how is the mean to deliver the support to you, ya ikhwan? We can't come because of the obstacles that we have, but at least let us donate, let us pay. Instead of eating, for example, hamburger or fried chicken, instead of that, eat only bread and cup of water. You're not going to die. Now, if you don't eat this. And save some money and send it. Ahmad ibn Hanbal was fasting one day, and just before Maghrib, a man, a poor man, passed by him and he said, "Ya Ahmad, I'm a poor person who didn't eat from morning, or I think said from noon, I don't know. But Imam Ahmad had only one piece of bread. He gave it all to him." Aisha radiallahu anha, when the woman came with two daughters, young daughters, she asked her for anything to eat. Aisha radiallahu anha, she did not hold one and give her two, but she gave her the three. They, subhanAllah, Rasulullah s.a.w. seems no water in his house cooking. Only they want, and he was found rubbing a piece of rock on his stomach to squeeze it so he does not feel hunger. And in one day he went out in Medina after Dhuhr. It's a time that he never used to go out in it. It's a time for Qaylula. But he went out and he found Abu Bakr and Umar and asked them, "What made you to come out at this time, O Abu Bakr and Umar?" They said, "It is only hunger, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "By Allah, nothing made me to come out at this time except what made you to come out." So he was hungry, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ikhwan, yani, how we think? Because why do I need to say this? Because whenever we bring like this reminders, everyone look to the other and say, "Akhi, subhanAllah. Look so-and-so who owns these shops and owns these buildings. He doesn't give. Akhi, what about you? What did you give? What did you give?" And our problem today is from inside us. Always recommending ourselves. We love recommendation. We love recommendation. We love to be recommended. And if we don't find anybody recommending us, we're recommending ourselves. Go to the internet websites and see. Everybody is putting, it's easy to open up a website now and call yourself whatever you want to call. Even you can call yourself Imam al-Zaman or whatsoever. And then a long recommendation. I studied so-so, I know this, I know that, I know. Akhi, where is this in your life? Where is this in your life? Yes, sometimes it is needed. Yeah, we need it. But also to see it on your own life. Like we saw it on Rasulullah, we saw it on the companions, we saw it on the Sahaba. We saw it lastly with the, for example, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah. It was said that he used to receive every month a check of 64,000 riyals. 64,000 riyals a month. And guess what? Just before the middle of the month, Sheikh bin Baz has nothing of that. Where is that? It's all this. Support du'at in Africa, in India, in Asia, in America, in many places. He hired them and he pays them salaries from his own salary. From his own salary. And he spends a lot. There were many schools in Yemen, in Ethiopia, in Somalia, in many other sites of the world. Schools running, all from the support of Sheikh bin Baz. And that's why everybody was wondering, how come this Sheikh, half of the month he doesn't have nothing? Where does he take his money to? What does he do with his money? SubhanAllah. He did not leave nothing for his family. He did not leave nothing for his family. He just spent fi sabilillah. And he always have this type of belief, Allah who gave me will give them. SubhanAllah. Where are we from this? الذي جمع أمالا وعددا يحسب أن مالا وخلدا. Many of us think that this money, if I have a nice car, if I have the latest model of watch, cell phone, I don't want to bring names and marks and brands because it's not a place of advertisements, but really, we are in need to mention some of these brands, because I see people are so crazy now, chasing and following, even for no need, even for no need. Now, they just, and maybe they borrow, and maybe they cheat, and maybe just to be always on top of technology, or at least to be seen like that, subhanAllah. La akhi, we need to build up the akhirah, not here. This is not our place. This is not our place. Our place is the akhirah, the jannah. That is our place. This is a place for no one. Even the kuffar, this is not their place. The kuffar, their place is fire. They should minimize now their sins, so they don't be down with Fir'aun and Haman. Well, it is very, very and extremely hot. And the Muslims need to work out to be high in the Jannah with prophets and messengers. SubhanAllah. The best levels. Now, not to say, Alhamdulillah, if I get to the Jannah, that's enough. No. Don't make this your target, your goal. But make your goal to be with the prophets and messengers. And look to how did they reach that level, Ikhwan. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who was told, as in Surah Al-Fath, that Allah Ta'ala said to him, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah forgives your previous and future sins. Aisha, when she saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praying long prayers, and for me, almost every night he's praying night prayers, she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, and that time his foot cracked, she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, you do it, but I've given all of your sins, past and future. Should a person be grateful? Should I then not be a person who is grateful to his Lord? Allahu Akbar. Where is that understanding to us today? And then Allah Ta'ala said, Kalla, no! No, he's not going to forever. He's going to last forever. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Verily you are going to die and they are going to die. No one is living forever but Allah alone. And subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everything is going to be so except Allah ta'ala alone. وَيَبْقَى بِكَ الْدَاءِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ etc. So, you are not going to live here forever. So why are you holding this money and spending it wrongly? Why do you get use of it to build up your akhirah? As the Prophet ﷺ said, that ni'ma al-mal al-salih fi yad al-rajul al-salih. What a good thing, the money, the good money, and the good hand of a pious person. Not a person who's fi sabilillah, and in a good way. Allah then said, كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. No! Indeed, he will be thrown into the crusher. What is the crusher? He, Allah Ta'ala, said to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. And what make you know? What make you know the crusher is? What the crusher is? Now, I told you this before, when Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَكَ, then it is going to tell us what it is. الْقَارِعَةُ مَالْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَالْقَارِعَةُ, and then Allah Ta'ala told us what it is. Here Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَالْحُطَمَةُ. So Allah will tell us, describe for us. He says, وَمَا يُدْرِكَ, he's not going to describe us. What make you know that my then? But in such director, he's going to tell us, he's going to describe this thing to us, as he did here. Now, the crusher is number one was the fire of Allah for long years. Now, let me look from the description of that fire. التي تطلع على الأفئدة وتبريبس تبريبس يعني the skin and the skin covering behind the skin, there's the chest bones, behind the chest bones there is the heart. Now the fire goes in there. So how? Allah knows best. We cannot imagine, but we believe that it goes to us. It does, because other ayahs, Allah Ta'ala says, every time the thing goes over fire, we'll base it immediately. So they tested, because even today's science proved that the skin is the part which has the sensors of heat. So if you scratch the skin and you bring a match or a light like that and to the flesh, you don't feel thing, but you smell, but you don't feel, where the feeling, the senses are on the skin. Okay, I'll bring in this ayah. كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غير ليذوقوا العذاب. Every time there is skin over the hand, over the face, over the chest, when it goes off by the heat of the fire, which takes no time because of the massive heat of the fire of Jahannam, now immediately they will be replaced with a new skin. Like that, a fraction of a second, like that. So they are all the time, they cannot have no rest from feeling the pain. Now, how come we now understand this with this ayah that it leaves up over the hearts? Yes, this is how Allah Ta'ala wanted it, and He, Allah Ta'ala, is able to do whatever He Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wills. Now, and we have to believe in that. We just believe in that as it is said by Allah. We don't ask them, but we believe in it. We believe in it. And in that day, those who are going to be in the fire are going to know, because they are the ones who deny or argue, no, we don't believe until we know. La. We know before we believe before we know. What do you mean by that? We believe, as Allah told us, that before we see it, before we know. Khalas. We don't want. As Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, he said that it doesn't make any difference for me if I can see the torment of the grave today in my life or not, because it doesn't going to increase in my iman. I'm full believer. Khalas. I don't want no proofs to believe. I embrace Islam and I refrained myself from the what can ever earn anger of Allah. What for? It is, to believe, and I have the belief. So I don't need to have any more proofs to strengthen to believe more. So the disbelievers who are asking and arguing, how come it, this can be replaced every time and it leaves over the hearts? These ones are going to see it then. And we tell them, you're going to see it by Allah. As the Prophet ﷺ did when he came to the wells in Badr, where he buried the kuffar. He threw the kuffar, the bodies of the kuffar, the deceased bodies, into the wells. And then he stood by one well and spoke to them. He said, did you find what Allah Ta'ala promised you to find? As we found what Allah Ta'ala promised us to find, meaning the victory. But you guys who were killed, kuffar, and now you are in this the well is dry of water. Now, did you find what Allah promised you to find? Punishment? Umar ibn Rasulullah, how come you speak to people who died? He said, "O Umar, they listen to me. They can hear me now much more than you today, because they just been buried and they, Allah Ta'ala, make them to listen as a type also of punishment." Then Allah Ta'ala said, "Innaha alayhim mursada." Look at that. It is a crusher. It is a fire which been kindled for many, many years. It is it leaves up over the house. Three things now. And look at that. "Innaha alayhim mursada." It is sealed on them. Indeed, it shall be closed and sealed upon them. So, now, ya ikhwan, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that whatsoever extreme heat you find in this world is, and also the extreme cold in this world is because of the fire. The fire complained to Allah that it's beating itself. So Allah Ta'ala permitted for two times to breathe out. To breathe out. One time in the summer, and that is the extreme heat you find here, like in Medina, for example. And many other places, maybe more hot than here. But Medina is one of the hottest places in the world. And the extreme cold weather you find, like in the Eskimo, in Europe, in America, in Canada, like that. These two difficult withers are from Jahannam. The extreme hot, the extreme cold, are both from Jahannam. Now, and imagine, and this is just to keep the fire not to eat itself, not to burn itself. Now, when the people are, the kuffar are inside it, it's going to be sealed and closed. It means, what does that mean? The heat is going to be increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. There is no ventilation. There is no ventilation for it. There is no ventilation. So, نعم. إنها عليهم مؤصدة. الله المستعان. أعوذ بالله من النار وما يقرب إليها من عمل. في عمد ممددة. Beside all that, look at this. It is في عمد ممددة and pillars. The ulama said that inside the fire there are pillars of fire. There are pillars of fire. Pillars of fire. One needs to run and escape from the heat in this side, and he runs like this. He hits. He goes back, hits another pillar of fire. It's something really panicking. Now, and it's all hot and heat from everywhere. As Allah said in Scripture, "Deeds are fire. They're fire. If they are thirsty, they are going to drink boiling water." And when you talk about boiling, you're not talking about 100 degrees Fahrenheit or centigrade. So, trillions, billions and billions and billions of degrees. Billions of degrees. Now, and their food is only thorns, thorns, thorns. Allah musta'an. It is a very bad place, ikhwan. What leads to that place? Not only shirk, ikhwan. Not only shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come only to warn us against shirk. La. Against shirk. Against bid'ah. Against abandoning the obligations. Against slandering, backbiting, cheating, lying, cursing, doing. Wronging yourself and wronging the others. Wronging yourself by shirk and wronging others by your other sins. عياذا بالله. So, ya ikhwan, we have to fear Allah. We have to go back to Allah. We forget. Shaitan is after us. And he gives us a lot of hopes and excuses. But the reality is that we are going to die. There are two angels here, writing. Right hand, writing the good. Left hand, writing the bad. Believe me, it's not kidding. It's not going to go like that. Allah Ta'ala didn't create us and create the heavens and earth just for nothing, Ikhwan. Wake up. Wake up. From now on, do like that pious man amongst the Salaf. When somebody came to him and he said, "Ya Shaykh, sit down, I want to talk to you." He said to him, "Can you hold the sun? Not to move? So I can speak to you? Because this is my life. This is my life. Any moment I'm going to spend for no benefit that comes to me for the hereafter, then I am in loss. I'm a businessman here in this world. I'm a businessman. But businessman not selling merchandise and goods, but businessman who is selling the dunya for the price of akhirah. Selling the dunya, whole dunya, I don't want it. But we want the akhirah. And this does not mean that we come off the dunya and be poor and big others. La, la, la. And live very badly and poor. La, la, la. But it means that life should not turn us away from the akhirah. Make us forget the akhirah. La. Whenever we can get anything to build, to put a brick in our houses in the akhirah, let's take the chance and do it. This chance may not come back to you. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us all, and may Allah Ta'ala reward us highly and keep us always upon what pleases Him. سبحانه وتعالى والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه آمين وإياكم. You have any questions?
No, Sheikh, if you have time.
Just okay, one second. Okay, go ahead.
From one of the first questions, you had mentioned the hadith about the woman who three men had asked about her getting married.
Yes.
And the Prophet, some of them commented on those men.
On two of them.
The area of permissible backbiting?
No, it is not. It is linguistically called backbiting. But according to the Sharia, it is not backbiting. Because every word used has two meanings, according to the Sharia and according to the language. Now, so the meaning here, according to the language, yes, we can say it is a backbiting. But, a permissible backbiting. According to the Sharia, it is not a backbiting. Because, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Mustasharu Mu'taman. The advisor is trustworthy. He must speak of the truth. When somebody come and ask you your advice, you have to give him the best of what you know. Yeah.
Second question, Sheikh, is it permissible to talk about someone and not use their name by saying Fulan or Fulana?
Wallahi, it is not necessarily sometimes to say Fulan or Fulana. If somebody wants to speak against me, for example, in America, to you, for example, he says, everyone knows that it is Muhammad al-Maliki. It doesn't need necessarily to say my name. If it is something general like what Rasulullah said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ, when he said this, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَقُلُونَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, of the three people who came to the house of Rasulullah and asked about his prayers, his fasting, his relation with his family, and then they said that they will do much more than him. They will pray more than him, they will fast more than him, and one of them said that he's not going to
Mary so is not to get busy with other than worshiping. Now, once Rasulullah came back home and heard this from his family, he immediately came to the masjid and called the Sahaba for a ceremony. And he then said, "Ma balu aqwam." So yet the news is not spreaded, so they don't know who they were. Now, but not after you, and everybody knows, and then you say, "Yani Subhanallah, ma balu aqwam." Yeah, it's not correct. Ma balu aqwam. Then it's known now. Now, and as I said, what is the benefit of it? Even without mentioning names, what is the benefit of this speech? What is the? I told you that Abu Bakr Siddiq used to say, "This is what made me to, to reach the destructions." And Mu'adh asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, "Are we going to be questioned of what we speak of?" And the man said to the alim, the scholar, said to that man who said, "Let's talk." He said to him, "Can you hold the sun? Akhi, you are here temporarily. Your life, if you think that your life has no value, then up to you. Spend it as you like. But if you think that your life has value, then look for what can benefit you from this value." Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khair, barakallahu feekum, ya Sheikh. The next question is, does the layman have to follow strictly a madhhab when it comes to the issues of ibadah?
Does the layman?
Right.
What do you mean by layman?
Have to follow strictly.
What do you mean by layman?
The common person from among the Muslims.
Wallahi, this issue, the issue of following a madhab is the issue that people, take and give, as they say in Arabic, take and give about. Now, following a madhab is one thing, and being muta'assir, extreme to the madhab, is another thing. Following a madhab is nothing wrong. We have four famous madhab: Hanbali, Maliki, Shafi'i, and Hanafi. Every one of these, or any one of these, can equal all the scholars of our time today, including Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Albani, Sheikh Muqbil, whoever. They themselves say that. And these are imams. Malik is Imam Dar al-Hijra, Ahmad, Shafi'i, even Abu Hanifa is an imam. Yes, everyone has his mistakes. As Imam Malik said, كل يؤخذ من قوله ويرد إلا صاحب القبر. And he appointed to the grave of Rasulullah, he said, everyone, people can take from his speech and can reject, except one who is buried in this grave, and he appointed the grave of Allah. Because everybody can make mistakes, except Rasulullah, because it's a revelation. Now, to be a madhab is not wrong. It's not wrong. There is no scholar say don't be Abu Madhab. And then Abu what? You be Abu what? Or be Abu Hadith. Akhi is Ami. How can you know what is the Hadith and how the understanding of the Hadith? And this is the kind of myth today. And of those ulama, Imam Nawawi was Abu Madhab of Shafi'i. Was he wrong? He didn't understand. He doesn't understand like any layman today. That's but we have a madhab until hadith contradicts the madhab. They take the hadith and leave the madhab. That's the way. Talib al-ilm, who wants to study ilm, he must begin with studying a madhab, but not to stick to it. As we said, ta'assur extremely. Now, but to see how the extracted the evidences from the hadith and ayat. How what is the technique of that? This you cannot know if you don't study a madhab, as Sheikh Albani said in his advice, students of knowledge, he said, you have to study. He himself studied madhab Hanafi at the beginning. And then he come to take from what adheres with the hadith. But we don't say, many people today say, la, we take the hadith wherever we find. Yeah, that's correct statement, that's right statement, but the implementation is wrong. Now you are putting yourself along with Ibraz Albani Arameen, subhanAllah. And it is going back to madhab. For example, we don't follow madhab of Abu Hanifa, madhab of Malik, we don't follow madhab of. Okay. You ask them, where you place your hand when you raise up from rukur? You on my chest. Okay. The other says, to the side. Why? You, the one who say on the chest, why? Is there any hadith that to him? No. But Sheikh Ibn Baz. Who's greater now? SubhanAllah. Why you put your hands to the side? Is there a hadith? Clear hadith to say that? Oh, no, but it's Albani. Yes, mashallah, good understanding now. You think that if Sheikh Albani hears this from you, he will accept it? He will hit you because of doing that. Him, how many times Sheikh Albani said, do not just say yes, yes to all what I say. Do not imitate me. You either take it with the rules or leave it. Now we leave the imam of the commandments of SubhanAllah. That's Sheikh Juan. That's something very strange. That we don't take the madhab of we don't abandon the madhab, and we don't take any the madhab of any scholar as the only one thing. But we the good people to come in. So when it comes, we are wrong. Wallahu a'lam.
Nice. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fiqh, Sheikh. Sheikh, it's one question. That we have concerning the community. And that is, earlier you talked about how the others have established masjids and schools. We're asking, what advice do you have for us, the people on the upon the Salafiyya, as it relates to trying to build masjids and have schools for our children here in the West? Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fiqh.
Wallahi, the advice is first of all to understand and remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which says, من بنى لله مسجدا ولو كمبحص قطار بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. Whoever builds up a masjid for the sake of Allah, even if it is as big as the nest of a bird, a nest of a bird, can anybody pray in a nest, in the size of a nest? Nobody can pray in the size of a nest. But it means, the size of a nest may be like a brick size. That means even if you just put one brick in this masjid, Allah will build a masjid, a house for you in the Jannah. So the advice is, ya ikhwan, contribute and do not be greedy and selfish. Do not hold the money. All money that you hold, you are going to leave behind you and you're going to be questioned for. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أَيُّكُمْ مَالُهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِ وَالِدِهِ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كُلُّنَا. He said, أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَالِدِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. He asked, who of you, the of his inheritor, is more beloved to him than his wealth, his own wealth, meaning in taking care of. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, all of us, the wealth of us is much more beloved to us than the wealth of others. He said, then, فَمَالُكَ مَا أَنْفَقْتَ وَمَالُكَ. What is what in his life, and what is the worth of the inheritance? Build up your future. Prepare yourself for the next life. You are not going to be all the time here. And When you donate, يعني try not to say, oh, these people with me, these people not with me. Okay. If the, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ فَأَحْسِنُوا وَإِذَا أَسَرُوا فَاجْتَنِبُوا سَأَتَهُمْ وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذَا أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ فَأَحْسِنُوا وَإِذَا أَسَاءُوا فَاجْتَنِبُوا سَأَتَهُمْ Prepare yourselves. So when people do good, you do good with it. And they do evil, you avoid the evil. And man of Allah, he was in the blockade by the Khawarij, when he was in his house, under the one of the companions sneaked in and asked him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, those people, those Khawarij, as you see, all the and they are blocking you in your house. And he assigned one of them to lead the prayer in Masjid Rasulullah. Shall we pray behind him or what? He said, look, oh my nephew. The Prophet said, إِذَا أَحْسَنَ وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذَا أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ أَحْسَنُوا Prepare yourself. So whenever people do good, you do good. With them. And when they do evil, they do evil. And he said to them, and the Salah is one of the things that people do to friend them. Because they are doing something good now. Although they are bad people. Khawarij are bad people. But they are doing something good. They are not doing something bad. They are praying. Go pray with them. Now we say, this is a masjid. Maybe you don't like Hamza, maybe you don't like the Muaddin, but akhi, don't make this to prevent you from owning a house in the Jannah. La akhi. Let me just tell you this story. One day Rasulullah was sitting with his companions when a young man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a garden and there is a garden next to mine and I built a fence wall between mine and my neighbors. But there was a palm tree which is at the middle of the fence wall. So I asked my neighbor to make the fence from behind it to include it to my garden. But he refused. I asked him to give it, to buy it, to sell it for me. He refused. Then Rasulullah called the man. The man came. He said to him, sell the tree to him. The man said, no, I want my tree. He said, okay, give it to him and Allah gives you a palm tree in the Jannah. Now, ya akhi, look to this. Palm tree in the Jannah. What does that mean? Street. There is no street. And palm tree in the street. La, palm tree means a palace. A garden of a palace. A yard of a palace. And the tree in the Jannah, as it is described in the Hadith, the shadow of it is to be cut in 100 years running over or riding on a very fast horse. You need 100 years to cut the length of the shadow of the tree in the Jannah. So there was a young man called Abu Jandal, called Abu Dahdah, listening to this conversation. Abu Dahdah has one of the best gardens in Medina. His garden has the best quality of dates and the best fresh water. A well of the best fresh water in Medina. He hears this. And he hears the man refusing. Then he said to Abu Dahdah, Ya Rasulullah, a tree in the Jannah? And you know what does that mean? It means that the Jannah is guaranteed for you. Finish. Period. Once you own something in the Jannah, there is no any property in the Jannah with owner. La, la, la. Forget about that. There is no, property in the Jannah which the owner of it is not in the Jannah. La, it cannot be like that. If Allah Ta'ala permits you to own something in the Jannah, he will put you in the Jannah. Period. Now, So that Abu Dahdah said, Ya Rasulullah, a tree in the Jannah? He said, yes, a tree in the Jannah. Then Abu Dahdah looked to the owner of the tree and he said to him, Ya Akhi, do you know my garden? He said, who doesn't? And it's the best garden or one of the best gardens in Medina. He said to him, do you accept to take it for that tree? He said, yes, and now you have to witness. So he does not go back and then negotiate it with his family, friends, and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want. He said, now you witness. He takes some witnesses. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, be the witness that I gave my garden to this man for him to give his tree to this young man. Immediately, Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, رَبِيحَ الْبَيْعُ عَبَ الدَّحْدَاحِ. What a good business transaction you had, Abu Dahdah. He gave. You know what is garden for Dahdah? His house is inside it. He doesn't have any house. So when he gives it to that, when he gives it to that man, it means that him and his family will be out in the street. He came to the garden right away, immediately, and he called his wife. She was wondering why he is calling from outside. This is the first time. He usually comes in and then, it's not normal. She said, yes, Abu Dahdah, what's there? He said to her, come out and bring our belongings and bring the kids out. Do not take nothing from the fruits. She was wondering still. She came as he asked. But she asked him, what for, Abu Dahdah? We come out carrying our belongings. And kids are not to take nothing of the fruits of our farm. He said to her, I sold the garden. She said, what? What a club it is. You sold the garden and you know that our house is there. Our tea there, the water there. It's life. How can you sell it? He said then, from whom you sold? To whom you sold? He said, then when I was, and she checked the kids and found them carrying some dead. She said, no kids. These are not more. And she took the bench and said, they left Allah. I'm asking you to sell your house in the street. But we are saying, Akhi, don't always take the best, as I said, in terms of meals. Not necessarily burgers and fried chicken. Now, biscuits are enough, inshallah. Biscuits can do. Now, they what can do. Now, not necessarily to be fresh juice, mashallah, or whatsoever coffee, which is expensive. But, take some, little food and the time, it's just time now, it's your chance to own as much as you can, or as much as you can of the houses in the Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who get the advantage of this life to build up their Akhirah. Wallahu A'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khair, barakallahu feekum, ya Sheikh. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.